decorated.
I don't like it.
Pay feed services in association with Who1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Dr. Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Dr. Who podcast number 193. No, not the mind probe. I'm Adam and here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Danger, mistress. Danger.
Robert Haynes.
Big, isn't it?
Yes, it is, but that's what she said. Mary Lang.
For once, I was able to steer the TARDIS, and here I am.
And Matthew Kressel.
The terrible Zoden. Oh, you weren't concerned with her, were you?
And the anniversary episodes continue. This week we'll be looking at The Five Doctors. Now, the version that I looked at was the first ever DVD release. In fact, it was the first Doctor Who DVD released in 1999.
Oh, good. We're both watching the same version. Mm. Excellent. I thought I was the only person with that one.
Well, I haven't got
the one with the little black triangles?
Yeah. No. These are the little wiggly pyramid triangle.
Original. Oh, yeah. I thought we were doing the original.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's essentially the
it
same.
It doesn't matter. Some of us don't have that one.
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't know, because I haven't watched this for such a long time, or in fact, since me and Alicia watched it about 7 years ago, that it was actually that version. But it was okay. Slightly distracting, these sort of new special effects they added in. But for 1999, I thought some of it was quite good, special effects-wise. Anyway, it begins with a sort of...
Actually...
I nearly got going there. So nearly got into... how many words did I nearly start into it? Go on,
wasn't
then.
Was it 93 or something?
95 was when the special edition was put together and originally released
about
on
this DVD.
VHS, and because they had done it so recently.
I'm talking about the DVD.
It's when they did the special edition,
This
is not when the DVD was released,
Well, my DVD has 1999 on it.
That was what I was trying to correct at.
Yes, but as I said, my DVD has 1999 on it.
Yeah, but
well,
Adam,
enough, but
it was
the special
when that
edition was created in 1995. Yeah, excerpt from years before that was.
That's the point.
Was correct.
Honestly, don't know what you're going on about. All I said was, I'm watching the DVD, which is the first Doctor Who DVD release in 1999. What does it matter when the blimmin' special edition was done? I'm talking about the DVD blimmin' D. Anyway, let's see if we can get past the first three words.
If he hadn't brought it up, I probably would have too.
Yeah!
That's why I'm laughing.
We begin with a little homage.
I thought the same thing too.
For God's sake. We nearly begin with a little homage.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
How many minutes? So it's 3 minutes in. I've actually tried to actually start. God. Might have to go and get myself something in a minute. Well, I'll shut up for 5 minutes and then you can get what you need to say out and then I'll start doing the doodah. Carry on.
Well, I'm a little confused. Which is the old one, the one with the black triangles, or the one with the swirly effects?
The old one.
No,
is
the original one is the black triangles.
Yes, the original broadcast version.
That's the way it should be, and unfortunately, I only have that on a VHS that is buried someplace. I couldn't find it in time to watch it again.
I think one of the special editions did actually bring it out as an Easter eggy type thing. Where you can actually
watch it on both
versions.
Yeah, both versions are on the newer, the 2008 version.
Yeah,
well,
this
is but I don't have
that anniversary edition. But
I'm not rich.
Aw, Kirby.
Well, the special edition one that I got from Netflix had the little swirly things, and they altered Rassilon's voice apparently.
Yes.
Right. But then I watched apparently the earlier version online with the little black triangles and Rassilon sounding a little bit more real.
I tried to find that one. I couldn't find it.
Oh, it's online.
Mary knows.
Because I
Vimeo, Mary, Vimeo, what have you said?
Have you got it out of your systems yet?
Oh, have we, guys?
No, that's what I'm asking. Right.
Okay. Yeah, we have.
Okay. Right. So we start. Oh. I'll wait another couple of minutes.
Matthew's call drop, did it?
What's going on?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a plot.
Oh, Matthew's back. Oh, no, he's trying to connect again. Ooh. What is it with Skype at the moment?
It doesn't like us.
Yeah.
Mm. Ooh. Okay, I'm sending him a text. Oh, there he is. Okay, never mind.
Okay. The computer has rebooted.
And, basically that was about it. The doctors all sailed away in
the original
version.
That was a good story,
wasn't it? The original version in their own TARDISes, but in this version slightly different way.
And for once, Matthew, you did not win the quiz. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Well done, Mary. Well done, Mary, I reckon.
Thank you.
Right, can we get on now? No interruptions this time, please. Thank you for coming back, Matthew. I thought you'd gone off in a huff for a minute then.
No, it was more than a minute and a half.
Right, here we go. I'm going to say it, Evan, anyway now. Basically, it starts with a homage to William Hartnell, and that was about it, just so as they could put William Hartnell in the credits from the...
I like that.
It is nice. Mm-hmm. It's from Dalek Invasion of Earth. And then we're on...
And isn't it amazing how battered the roundels are in his TARDIS?
Oh, yes.
Particularly the one immediately behind his head.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
Well, that was after the first year, wasn't it? After a year's worth of episodes. So.
Then there's a little shot of, in the version I watched, of the sort of Tower of Rassilon. Everything's of Rassilon, isn't it? I mean, if he picks his nose, is that the bogey of Rassilon?
That's what I was thinking, yeah. Yes. It's like that, isn't it? The underpants of Rassilon? Yeah.
The tea town of Rassilon.
The corridors of Rassilon with some flames of Rassilon. And then we're on some place that Kirby's going to tell me, some ruined building. It's supposed to be the Eye of Orion. When they started saying that, I thought he was going to say the Eye of Harmony. But, of course, the Eye of Harmony gets mentioned later on in the story.
It's actually the private estate of the man who built Port Mirian.
Oh, was it now?
Ah,
really?
Ah.
The prisoner.
Which is where? Where is this estate?
It does look like the Lake District, actually.
It's in Wales. It's in. You expect me to pronounce P E N R H Y N D E U T R A E T H and G W Y N E D?
Yes, thank you. And then we're in the nude. With the new console, which is the console
I've had my picture taken with.
Yes?
you have.
Thank you.
The garden that the first doctor is walking through is in the same place as the where the Eye of Orion, where they materialize. It's just a different part of the same place.
Brilliant. Anyway.
You know what was good about that, though, is that a link back to the three doctors with the first doctor walking around the garden there.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Indeed. And also the link back of Tegan's wearing a fur coat, very similar to the second doctor's. But anyway, so the fifth doctor goes out and has a little bit of a wander around while Turlough's painting a picture, apparently, or drawing a picture of the scenery. And then we see the first doctor, who I can never really sort of see as the first doctor because it isn't. But we have to accept it is, get taken away by one of these triangle things, and then the mysterious hand and the mysterious music. One thing about this DVD, it has got a completely separate section with all the music on it. I know a lot of them have
like
the isolated
score.
And also you got a TARDIS console as your control panel rather than your traditional Doctor Who DVD thing has. Anyway, the fifth Doctor has a bit of a heart attack or hearts attack. When he realizes that the
cosmic angst.
Yeah, that's it.
Some of the new series DVDs use controls on the TARDIS control panel.
I haven't seen those ones, must admit.
I haven't seen
them. And then we're at Unit HQ, with the Brigadier, and the Second Doctor arrives with a slightly different haircut than he did have 25 years earlier. All right, 10 years earlier. I'm getting my time zones mixed up.
11 years.
Oh, right. Shop being over pedantic. Colonel Crichton.
It's a wig.
Was in the War Games. The Second Doctor and Brigadier go off for a little wander and then get taken up by one of these triangles.
Have you noticed that, again, Unit 11 years later, Unit Headquarters.
Yeah, the same building.
It's the same building, and it has a very similar sign for being a secret base.
So after the Second Doctor and the Brigadier have been sort of triangular napped, the Third Doctor spots one in his wing mirror because he's driving around in Bessie and does a U-turn, but...
Did we see Clara this time?
Yeah, Clara should be there.
Yeah, I was looking for Clara.
There's lots of flies buzzing around, but maybe Clara's hiding behind the triangle. But she doesn't save the Doctor from being picked up by this triangular thing.
Time scoop.
The Fifth Doctor's having lots of funny turns at the moment. And Turlough and Tegan sort of help him back to the TARDIS. Meanwhile, Sarah Jane's car's in the garage, so she has to catch the bus.
Sarah Jane's house is the only of the location shooting which was not done in Wales. Wow. This is in Uxbridge, and if you go to Google Maps and look at Street View, it looks pretty much the same, except that water in front seems to have been filled in.
Oh. There you go. Anyway, so basically. K-9 wants to come along.
It's number one West Common Road, Uxbridge, Middlesex.
K-9 wants to come along.
And the bus stop is around the corner.
But John Nathan
Turner
doesn't want him to do so. But at least John Leeson got to say a couple of words in it. What the funny thing was about we get the shots from a then unreleased Sharda. They use for the Fourth Doctor scenes, which are quite nice.
That was so good to see, wasn't it?
And it was also a totally logical to use those bits of footage.
It's amazing how it fitted in.
The commentary that on my DVD, Terrence Dix was saying that he was just lucky that they had it was able to fit in so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Sarah Jane decides to instead of run off down the road, run into a fence so she can get caught by the triangular thing.
I hate her outfit. Uxbridge.
That's 1980s, isn't it?
It's a disgusting outfit, though, for her. Disgusting. She was dressed.
She always wears these overly bright, very girly-looking little outfits.
Yeah. The fifth Doctor is meanwhile lying on the floor of the TARDIS, sort of disappearing and coming back again, then disappearing and coming back again. I quite like the effect they used for this version of it. It was a bit more sort of dynamic than the original effect. It was quite good.
Actually. Yes,
can't remember.
Yeah, that's why I wish that I could see the other one to see how the differences between them.
It was more of a TARDIS fade out originally.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah.
Apparently, on the console, they must have gone out and bought a whole bunch of Commodore PET computers, because that's what those buttons look like.
Yeah. So, anyway.
BBC Micros.
The newly regenerated Barusa grumpily comes into the council room, I suppose, but there's only three of them. I thought there'd be more of them there, really.
Two of them are in the death zone, so.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because they mentioned that.
Yeah, they're the ones who are zapped.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We see that one dead body at the one point.
Yeah, the Master season.
Yes. Talking of the Master, he turns up. Still doesn't quite wash with me why they would choose him to go and help the Doctor. There's plenty of other people they could have chosen.
Why choose the Doctor in the first place as well?
Yes. But anyway, they did choose the Master. I wondered that too. For the necessity of having Anthony Ainley in it. But they could have actually had him in it, but just as one of the baddies that was already there trying to get the Doctor.
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
And apparently this was the start of a big controversy on about Master's regenerations.
Yes, a complete new knife cycle, yes. And also the fact that Rassilon himself could grant new regeneration cycles.
Yeah, I wonder how they work that out.
So if it's not controlled by anybody, and the Doctor is the only Time Lord in existence, why would he have a limit? Anyway, back to the story. Next thing we see, that the fake First Doctor sort of wandering through corridors, and then Susan turning up.
Susan, that
was so nice. I love seeing
her. Oh, yeah. I liked seeing her.
And she looks very attractive, actually, in this. How old was she? About 40 odd when this was done. And that's quite a good little scene, actually, the way he sort of outsmarts the Dalek. And the Dalek itself is probably one of the best sort of Dalek creatures that I have ever put in Doctor Who. The way its little sort of tentacles wriggle and wriggle and they sort
of.
Yes. Terrence Dick said that he wasn't expecting that. He simply wrote that it exploded, and he was surprised when he saw the finished product and went, "Oh, that's nice."
Yeah, works really well
in a grotesque way.
Of course, they never really went back to it after that, did they? In fact, the creature itself looks very similar to the Dalek creatures we see now. If you look at it when it's lying dead in its
We did see some other indications of the creature inside. In remembrance, and also in
Genesis, didn't we?
Resurrection.
No, that's before Resurrection as well.
Oh, you're thinking Destiny as well? When the Doctor finds it out on the wastelands in Scar and goes,
that was the best. Yeah, no, I'm talking about we actually saw more of a creature.
Didn't we see a claw in the Daleks as well?
That weird claw in. Was that?
There was one in the Daleks and
where was
a claw.
That?
I'm saying in the original Daleks there was a claw as well.
Yeah, I guess. Anyway, never mind.
Yeah.
So the Brigadier and the Second Doctor are wandering around, and then they meet up with some Cybermen, and one of them grabs the Brigadier's arm, and he goes, "Ouch."
Didn't that break his arm, though?
I believe that's where, if you look quickly through the hole in that stone wall, you can see that the Cyberman is wearing jeans.
Right.
Okay. Wow. I couldn't see through the hole in the wall at all.
Damn me.
No.
All right. Meanwhile, the Third Doctor is driving along a very conveniently placed road in Bessie, and Sarah decides to roll down a flat embankment.
Yes,
one of the saddest scenes.
And then he's got to throw a rope to her to drag her up, which she can just stand up and walk up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
The gentle slope of Rassilon.
The slope anger.
And we do get the best reaction from any of the old companions when she sees a Doctor that she's seen regenerate go back.
Yeah,
and that's quite a good reaction.
And Terrence Dix was also saying that he was a bit mad at John Pertwee because John liked that teeth and curls line and took it. It was supposed to be said by Sarah, and he took it instead. And it doesn't make sense because he doesn't know what the Fourth Doctor looks like.
We might do. He might.
So the mind is not very good for that, is it?
Yeah. I found that odd. Yeah.
We don't know if he's been involved in any other multi-Doctor adventures that we haven't seen, so he may well know what his future self looks like.
Yeah,
well, there's also one of the short stories that was written as part of the Big Finish Short Trips range did go in and fill in that gap where something happened.
There we go.
The Third Doctor traveling with Joe.
I'm on your side, Matthew. I'm on your side. Because...
Yeah, when the Third Doctor... Yeah.
Because in in the Name of the Doctor, where all the Doctors are wandering around that strange sort of mindscape, the Third Doctor would have seen all his future selves.
Yeah,
true.
That's true.
You're right.
So there you go. Me and Matthew are right. Right.
Yes, you are.
So,
I didn't disagree.
The First Doctor and Susan see the TARDIS out in the wilderness and head for it, go inside and find the Fifth Doctor, Tegan and Turlough, and everybody looks a bit confused. And they still...
Can I ask something?
Hang on, let me finish. They still don't sort of manage to encompass the Fifth Doctor is older than the First Doctor thing. Because he should be more wiser than the First Doctor.
Yeah, that is dumb. Right. I hate the way they do that. They did that in Three Doctors as well.
They did indeed. You were going to say, Robert, sorry.
I swear. Go ahead.
No, it's just that I didn't think they differentiated between the two landscapes between where John Pertwee was driving before he was picked up by the time scoop and after he was in the death zone, because they look exactly the same, which they were the same.
Because they are the same. They are the same.
Yeah, but it should have been, it should have looked different to us, the viewer, so that we know he's been moved somewhere else, not.
True. It, true.
Yeah.
They are the same. By the way, if you look at modern, pictures taken from those same places, you can spot all the same rock formations, and you could,
yes,
you could be the master, with his magically appearing black cloak.
I'm not really surprised, because it does say it takes thousands of years for erosion to have a major effect on the countryside. Moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a bit of.
Anyway, what I was about to say is I think that my wife had a dress just like Tegan's. That pattern.
What?
Reminds me of one that I think she had a dress of that exact same cloth.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
And style.
And
style.
I don't think it's the same style. I think
that was
same,
a very
same
popular style.
Yes, I forgot where I was now. What did I get up to?
Welcome to the 20 megabyte fashion podcast.
Yeah, so there's a bit of.
Hey, I'm on. You got to address it.
There's a bit where the Fifth Doctor says, unfortunately, about the fact that they always get, they only get together in the gravest of circumstances, and then the First Doctor says something, and he's only been with him for 5 seconds. He's already getting a bit tetchy with him. I thought that was a bit.
Yeah.
So it took a bit of a while for the first and third doctor, sorry, the second and third doctors to sort of, you know, well, it was a bit slower than it did with these two to get annoyed with each other, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there isn't much squabbling between them, which is nice in this whole story. Mm.
Meanwhile, the third doctor meets up with the master. For a time, we thought the master's real name was Jehoshaphat, but actually it was only jumping
Jehoshaphat.
I read that in... just, I think yesterday, I'm going, people don't know that Jehoshaphat is just a phrase that
he's a character in the Bible,
considered,
though.
Yeah, I
yeah,
never
it's
considered
from the Bible, yeah.
That people would think that was his name. I hadn't even run across that.
I thought it was at the time, but only because the doctor didn't say jumping Jehoshaphat, he just said Jehoshaphat.
Well, he could have been known as jumping Jehoshaphat, though, Adam.
Never mind. So the third and
just
first
like little Jack
doctor,
Warner,
the fifth
like
and first doctor having a little bit of a bicker, while the doctor and Sarah head off towards the tower, as do the first doctor and the brigadier, all of them taking slightly different routes because there's three entrances. Just as well there weren't five entrances, I suppose there would have been if all five doctors were available for it.
Yeah.
Eventually, the Brigadier and the Second Doctor go sort of underground.
You completely skipped over.
I did.
The whole reason that the Master really went into this with the idea that he was going to try to better himself. And the only reason he kind of went... Mm. What was that?
It's my phone. Hold on.
Hello, Fantasy Hotline.
I thought that the Master went into it because he knew that if he had succeeded, he'd get a whole new regeneration cycle. I thought that had nothing to do with bettering himself.
Well,
yeah,
yes, but
he
anyway...
he did seem to be a bit, though, redeeming himself, didn't he, to try?
Yeah, he was trying to redeem himself until he got into that argument with the Third Doctor, and
yeah,
because he could not convince the Third Doctor
he was so stubborn.
Really on the Time Lord's side. That's when he just kind of gave up.
No, I didn't think. I didn't think he gave up then. I thought he gave up when the Fifth Doctor sort of had that attitude, because he gets sort of the Cybermen shoot them and he gets hit by a rock. And I think once he gets kidnapped by the Cybermen, that's when he gives up.
By a piece of styrofoam, yes. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, the Master does have that line that, you know, the universe without the Doctor is scarcely worth thinking about. So
But he still tries to kill him at every available opportunity. anyway, so the Master has a yo-yo in his pocket, and the Fifth Doctor then transmits back to the... You know, that's shocking, isn't it? The fact that a yo-yo can do such
a yo-yo
thing. back to where the Time Lord
looks more like a bicycle
actually,
bell.
Actually.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Yes.
No, I thought you were going to...
I was going to point out, A, that it looks more like a bicycle bell, but Kirby beat me to it, so obviously great minds think alike in that regard.
It looks more like a yo-yo. Who's right?
But, bicycle bell yo-yo.
Terrence Dix kept referring to it as a bicycle bell. Oh, the bicycle bell of Rassilon. don't forget that
he's
one.
Holding it up. It's
wonderful.
A yo-yo.
What wonderful.
And there's that wonderful, we must have Susan trip on something scene.
Yeah.
Oh, my
goodness.
Oh, yeah. She didn't say
they
my
did
ankle,
all the highlights,
though, did she?
You know that.
Yes.
Oh, my ankle. Sad. I twisted my ankle. But she didn't, so she just carried on.
Well, they had to do that to put her in the TARDIS with Turlo, apparently, because, you know, too many doctors all running around.
As scripted, the doctor that was going to go back to the council was the fourth doctor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile.
And when Tom Baker pulled out, that kind of ruined that plan and ended up having to shift the script around a bit.
That's what Lala said. I mean, that's what she said.
Deciding not to take part shifted a lot of stuff around as well, because Fraser Hines, Jamie was supposed to be with the second doctor originally, the Brigadier with the third doctor, and then when Tom Baker couldn't do it and Fraser Hines couldn't get out of Emmerdale for more than a day, they had to swap everything around. So,
well, what companion were they planning to put with the fourth doctor?
I've read two different things. At one point before...
If the Brig is with the third, that means Sarah Jane could have been with the fourth, right?
Yeah, it was either going to be Sarah... It was originally going to be Robana to Lala Ward until the divorce became public. And then they were going to do Elizabeth Sladen. And then when Tom eventually decided not to do it, everything got shifted around, as I said. So
okay.
Can I make this week's obligatory Big Finish reference?
You already have.
Of course.
You mean, yeah, I was going to say your second one?
Yes.
Well, we talked about the fact that the Doctor transmats and seems to go straight to Gallifrey. In The Five Companions, we discover that, in fact, that's not quite the case. He ends up in another part of the Death Zone with Ian Chesterton, Stephen Taylor, Sarah Kingdom, Polly, and this facing off against Daleks and Sontarans, which they're all kind of being kept in reserve, and because it turns out that the fourth Doctor wasn't the only one who got botched in the time scooping.
Well, there you go.
So that was in The Five Companions.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, was it just me, or did a lot of Matthew's audio just drop?
Some of it did, but not enough for me to worry about.
Not for me. I heard all of it.
Anyway, can I continue, please? The fifth Doctor is back in Time Lord HQ. And the Castellan is now fallen under suspicion of having planted a homing beacon within the yo-yo. So he gets arrested.
The president says
that they can use the mind probe if they like. And he said, no, not the mind probe. And then you hear a scream and he's dead. No regeneration.
Now, have you seen the outtakes of the scene with the black scrolls?
Yes.
One of the scrolls is on fire and falls outside of it, and they keep on acting until someone off screen says, "Put it out, please."
Wait, so are you saying that the mind probe killed Castellan?
No,
they shot him before we got to the mind probe, but
because he had a blaster in his hand, didn't he? Yeah.
There was talk. There was talk of bringing in Colin Baker as the Gallifreyan guard. I forget the name.
Yeah.
Maxwell.
But he was, I believe by this point, he was already being considered for the Doctor, and so they decided not to do it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now, the sad thing
is, previously,
this brand new consoles, it's just sad to see that the ridiculously bad computer graphics that they, of course, were state of the art. But they're terrible.
Yeah, Atari graphics.
Yeah.
It looks more like Commodore PET, like I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and the keyboard looks very much like a early Commodore PET as well.
Thank you for that, Kirby. meanwhile, the third Doctor and Sarah meet up with an alien we've never seen before or since, when that's the Rasta thingamajig robot.
The Rasta Mario robot.
But she's
I was
going to
ask about that. I don't remember seeing that before. So
very,
that
very
has
good.
Not been a... Obviously, that hasn't been in the Doctor Who...
Certainly has somewhere you could park your bike under certain circumstances, I must admit. Certain angles as well.
Okay, I just had someone interrupt me on this end. What is it we haven't seen before?
The Rasta thingamajig robot.
Rasta warrior
robot.
Yeah, that was put in at the very last minute.
I think it's very good.
Okay. Yeah, they needed another
hurdle. I thought I'd missed a story in here somewhere that he was in.
No.
The story that Terrence Dix tells both in the commentary on the special edition version and on the documentary celebration on the 25th anniversary release is that Eric Sayward and him were discussing the script after he'd sent in two or three drafts, and that Eric Sayward decided that the Third Doctor and Sarah Jane got to the tower too easily, and there needed to be something in the middle. And it needed to be, you know, exciting and great and, above all, cheap. So they sat there and thought about it for a bit, and Terrence Dix came up with the Rasta Warrior Robot, which never shows up in the TV show again, but it pops up in, I think, a couple of the comics and in a couple of the novels as well, including the Eight Doctors, which Terrence Dix wrote.
And is it the costume that the... part, it's a repainted version of those robots in Caves of Androzani.
Well, they were repainted for the Caves of Androzani.
Androids and Earthshock.
No, Earthshock, you're right.
Earthshock, that's right.
Anyway, right, so it's a very, very good, but not used again alien. It's a shame they haven't used it again, because it's very good, as I just said twice. So anyway, the Tegan is with the First Doctor. Quite a good pairing, actually, I think. I thought that would have worked quite well.
They're both irritable with each other.
Anyway, because when the Castellan dies, the Fifth Doctor starts suspecting that the Castellan wasn't, in fact, the person that has been sort of manipulating things. Second Doctor and the Brigadier are in the sort of caves, and a Yeti.
And no, I cannot tell you what caves those are.
Never mind.
I was unable to find out.
Never mind. They get chased by a Yeti, and I love the bit where he uses the cosmic glitter stuff. The Brigadier.
Glacier
you
glitter.
Abandoned it. Which is quite funny, because it just reminds me of you lot, when I'm trying to speak, you keep talking, and none of you have said as yet.
You should use that sound on it. Right?
One thing about that Yeti, for the longest time, this was the only thing I had seen with a Yeti in it. So it's kind of surprising how agile this Yeti is compared with the Yeti that we saw recently.
Yeah, I thought it was a bear or something until they called it a Yeti, because it didn't act like a Yeti.
Well, this is supposed to be one of the original Yeti. This isn't a robot controlled by the Great Intelligence. This is supposed to be an actual wild Yeti that's been moved. This is actually apparently the same costume that was used in Web of Fear, but it had deteriorated in storage to the point they could only show it in the shadows, which is why you don't get much of a look at it.
Okay, well, it was effective enough for me. Anyway, they are the first to actually get into the building, I think, after the Doctor finds...
Terrence Dix was saying, with that scene with the firecracker, or the cosmic glitter...
Galactic
He was watching as the brig is holding that torch up next to the rock formation. He's going, that definitely has to be on location, or else it would burn the entire BBC television center down.
I would have thought it was pretty obvious that it was location, though.
Indeed. Anyway, they think they're trapped by a rock fall, but the Doctor sees the fact that there's a breeze coming from somewhere, and it wasn't anybody farting.
It was right behind them, though.
Yeah, no.
Where there's a breeze, there's a way.
Yes,
or where there's a wind,
there's a wind.
Yeah, so I've got a bit of that tonight. I had a curry slice.
One thing, have you noticed with all three entrances?
Oh, yeah.
All three of the Doctors go, they all say, after you.
That's what she said, sorry.
Yeah,
yeah.
How true.
Oh, dear. Anyway. Back to Doctor
Here we are with the Tomb of Rassilon filled with
the entrance of Rassilon.
After you.
After you, right.
Yes. Charming.
Yeah, so there's lots of good Cybermen death scenes, actually, as the third Doctor and Sarah escape.
Oh, but I can't believe that they would all just stand there and let themselves get shot. I mean, they're holding weapons. Why aren't they shooting at that creature?
He's too fast.
Well, the idea is that the Rastal Warrior robot moves around so quickly.
Yeah, but it doesn't in this scene. I mean, they're standing there.
Terrence Stix was saying in the commentary that he kind of liked, yeah, he thinks that the Cybermen should have been able to shoot some more, but he liked those death scenes because he really did not like Cybermen. All those Cybermen were in here because Eric Sayward loved Cybermen and Terrence Stix did not.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
And this whole sequence was in fact directed by John Nathan Turner on location rather than Peter Moffat.
Okay. It's a quite good scene where Sarah's sliding down the zip wire and there's a Cyberman that's sort of been sort of harpooned and is just about to get and disconnect the thing but collapses just in the nick of time. But the acting of Elizabeth Sladen when she has to climb over was brilliant, very convincing, even though she probably didn't have that far to fall. It was very, very well done.
She is a good actress.
Now, did you notice we seem to have several cyber controllers in with several different groups, because there's a black, the ones with with the black handlebars.
One with the TARDIS, blowing up the TARDIS.
Yeah, there's one there, and then there's one with this group with the Rastan robot.
Well, they're all middle managers.
Excellent.
They all go excellent.
that little fist thing. Yeah.
Whenever any of the doctors reach the tower, the entrance doors are quite easy to get through. Apart from when the first Doctor's chessboard, which is a bit tricky.
I've never understood that one.
No way of putting it. You can't do pie.
No, you can't.
Ridiculous.
It's a square board. Yeah.
They might as well have made up some sort of time lordy mathematical sort of jargon, and that would have sufficed.
Yeah, but then you can't get the line as easy as pie, though.
Right.
That was what they wanted.
They could have made. Another thing, bolognese or something like that, and it sounds like bolognese, but in fact it's a Time Lord word, and it could be as spaghetti as bolognese. They could have done anything. They should have been a bit more imaginative. They should have got a writer to write it.
Yeah.
Come on, that was quite clever.
Terrence Stix is a writer.
I know. Never mind, I'm carrying on. So, yes, the Master sort of jumps across the chessboard, and then the Doctor gets across quite easily, and then some Cybermen get... Well, no, Cybermen have already got zapped at that point.
By the way, remind me what the original version looked like when all the Cybermen get zapped, because it's simple. Pretty well done.
Very simple little laser beams.
It's a little green line with an X on the Cybermen, if I remember right, they get hit. Explode, and then, because I think this is the one sequence that the special edition does significantly improved.
Yeah, that's really good. But you know what that reminded me of? There's an old episode of Doctor Who, I think it's called Death to the Daleks, and they're in this sort of...
The Exelon City.
And there was a sort of obstacles like that in that story.
That's true,
Meanwhile, the third Doctor meets Mike Yates and... Liz Shaw. Very briefly. It's a shame that...
Stop him!
It's just a shame that he went round the corner and left Sarah behind, because that would have been nice to have seen Sarah have a little scene with Mike Yates. But we didn't see that.
Well, Terrence Stix didn't know what companions they were going to throw in there. He just wrote very little that there's companions that this is going to happen with. It depended on who they were going to be able to get.
Richard Franklin confirms in the Celebration documentary that he got the script and through the post saying, will you do this? And suddenly noticed that his pages were a different color from everybody else's pages because of the way production things work about different pages being different colors depending on what draft they're from.
Okay. Anyway.
He was happy to be in it.
And that's probably how we ended up with – they did try and write it with the memory thing for zapping the memories of Zoe and Jane, and that does you then again have the issue of, well, like the two doctors later on, where he hasn't really got his memory wiped.
What happened?
He only had his first episode. I mean, the rest.
Yeah,
they remembered their first adventure.
Right. Well,
you know what
happened? Go ahead.
What brought it awry was that Jamie said the Brigadier's name, whereas he wouldn't have known the Brigadier after his first adventure. I mean, he'd know the Doctor, but not the Brigadier, and he mentioned the Brigadier. Yeah.
Well, what was supposed to have happened originally was that it was supposed to be, if I remember correctly, Jamie and Victoria. And Victoria was the one who was supposed to have the line calling him Brigadier, which, of course, she wouldn't know he was the Brigadier because she only met him in Web of Fear when he was the Colonel. But Deborah Watling was not available for the date, so they inserted Wendy Padbury instead and changed the line around. But also, as well, if you think back to the scene with the Brigadier and the Second Doctor at Unit HQ, the Second Doctor remembers Omega, which he really shouldn't have, depending on where he's coming from in the timeline as well. So the suggestion, at least, is that this is a Doctor somewhere in Season 6B who's come back to see the Brigadier.
Okay.
Right.
Not to mention that these are just illusions, but they are significantly aged illusions.
When I watched it at the time it went out, I must admit, I did think that Fraser Hines and Wendy Padbury look much older, but looking at it now, they don't look as old, especially Wendy Padbury. She looks great.
Well, they have her face in her mostly in shadow.
In her bubble wrap.
The reason
she's in the bubble wrap is she was pregnant at the time, and they were trying to hide her bump.
Yeah, I thought she might.
And unfortunately, she did lose the baby, but that is what happened.
What a nice cheerful tale for the 20 megabyte podcast this week.
Yes.
It's part of all the stuff that you read about with this.
Okay.
Imagine what I could have done if I'd had infotext.
Anyway, the Fifth Doctor is poking around the President's office and just does one little twang of a harp. The Harp of Rassilon, funny enough. Is it actually labelled the Harp of Rassilon? I mean, it would have been pretty obvious, really. But,
the Harp of Rassilon.
And twangs the string of the Harp of Rassilon, and a little sound comes out that sounds like the releasing of a lock mechanism. So he tries to play a tune and doesn't really get anywhere with it. So all the other doctors start arriving at the inner sanctum of the tomb of Rassilon. And then they have the little greetings of Rassilon. And then they meet the master of Rassilon, who
apparently
does a bit of gloating of Rassilon. Yeah, go on.
With the Harp of Rassilon, Terrence Diggs did not write the harp business. That was Eric Sayward put that in. And actually, Terrence Diggs liked that addition. Originally, the doctor was just going to poke around the office and find a hidden switch, and it was going to open the door.
Okay. I like the Harp of Rassilon. I like to harp on about it.
Yeah.
I like to harp on about it. Anyway, so the Cybermen attempt to blow up the TARDIS. I thought it was indestructible, but never mind. And then the doctor gets
I wondered why they were so worried. I would think the TARDIS wouldn't be affected. Yeah.
Well, they're trapped in the force field and whatnot as well, so they can't move the TARDIS or anything. And if he doesn't have the hats on, then the TARDIS can't move anyway, so.
Yeah. So anyway, the doctor.
Yeah, I thought it had been referenced earlier that they didn't want to blow it up. They were just trying to open it. Because they were going to use one of the doctors to pilot it.
Ah, there you go. Anyway. Well,
grounded it with bombs, so opening it doesn't sound like an option.
Anyway, the doctor, Fifth Doctor, bumps into Verusa.
The slow motion Cybermen there.
It took them a while.
Can I just get on with the story? The Fifth Doctor bumps into a Verusa eventually, wearing his black stuff now, and the coronet of Rassilon. I wonder why there's any more things of Rassilon that can actually fit into the script. And he's got a bit of the attitude of Rassilon. But anyway, what I liked about that scene was the Fifth Doctor's reaction to his old friend turning evil. And he went, oh, Verusa. I thought that was really, really good. I quite like that. So, yes, the Cybermen, just about to explode thing, and then the TARDIS moves into the TARDIS moves into the inner sanctum. The Third Doctor rubs the back of his neck in typical third Doctor style, just as Barusa and the and the taken over fifth Doctor walk in. But they do their little, they didn't say contact, but they get together to try and use their mind against Barusa and quite easily overtake him.
I fully expected a mind meld like in the past, yeah.
Yes.
They should have.
And he steps over to be with them and says, we're more than a match for you. But, yeah, I didn't like the new voice of Rassilon. I liked the original voice, actually.
Yeah, I did too. I like the old voice better.
Yeah, and so anyway, I do love this scene.
See, I don't remember what it...
The scene where he gets given mortality, apart from the fact it's the first Doctor that susses out that he should be allowed to have what he wants. It should be the fifth Doctor doing that. He's a current...
Why doesn't... Yeah,
he's the current Doctor. It should be him doing it. And but it's a hot. That whole scene's are probably the best. I know it's a big crux of the story, but it's the best scene in the whole thing. When he gets the ring.
By the way, on that stone pillar in the Rassilon's tomb is that set of characters which may or may not be the Doctor's name.
What? What do you mean?
What, you don't know about that?
Sigma Omega.
It's D to the third, Sigma X to the second.
Okay.
That was in a comic, a 1980 Doctor Who comic. And then they put it on that pillar as well. But the comic said that was his name.
Oh, cool.
Is that really canon?
This is one of the last classic series, Doctor Who scenes to really creep me out when I watched it. When they had those faces pressed up against them, and the eyes going left and right.
Oh, yeah.
That was really scary for me at the time. And I was in my teens when this went out. And I found that quite scary and a bit, So, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
And the ring disappears from his finger and goes back onto Rassilon's finger. It's brilliant. I just love this.
The ring of Rassilon.
The ring of Rassilon, yes. Yeah. And then, of course, do you doctors want immortality? Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah, really.
And there's a very, very abrupt departure. But in the original thing, it's the TARDISes that sort of go off. But in this version, it's sort of the triangles. Yes.
I like the TARDISes one better.
Yeah,
I like the TARDISes. Yeah,
and I understand the fourth Doctor ends up back differently.
Yes.
In this version, in Adam's version, my version, he just ends up punting down.
He's just running
to
the TARDIS.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. And I prefer the original version when he's running to the TARDIS.
But well, anyway. The original version doesn't make any sense because everybody else presumably is being dropped back off where they were found from. So why would the fourth Doctor and Romana be in a completely different place when what's really going on is he's just escaped being chased by the Spear of Skagra?
Okay. Anyway, so the Doctor then becomes Lord President.
Not the Sphere of Rassilon.
Right.
Yeah, the Sphere.
Something
that's not Rassilon.
Which is quite clever writing because it means he can run off into his TARDIS and Tegan's to say it means you're going to go on the run from your own people on the rackety old TARDIS.
And people. Why not? Yep. After all, that's how it all started.
Which sets it up really nicely.
Indeed.
Brilliant. I'm going to have a go first on this one.
How come Rassilon doesn't look like Timothy Dalton?
Because he's regenerated.
Well, he's a little boy then.
Dalton was too.
Oh, what happened there? Is he gone?
What?
Oh, sorry, I thought he disappeared. No, as you shut up, I'll say now. Yeah, Timothy Dalton was supposed to be a resurrected version of Rassilon. They resurrected him for the task of the Time War.
Right. I know. I'm just being.
No, you're saying that now.
Actually, it may be where actually to in a weird sort of the way, 6 degrees of separation. The same time that this was being produced, Timothy Dalton was in the classic serials version of Jane Eyre, script edited by Timothy Dalton and produced by Barry Letts.
Oh.
Right.
Good connection.
Who's undoing their flies? Put them back up again.
Kitty.
Not me.
Right, now I'm going to do, before I say what I think of this story, I'm going to do, because it's going to be me first this week, I'm going to do a delay test. Does everybody remember how the delay test works? I say magic, and you say magic back to me as quickly as you can. Ready? You can say ready, yes. Are you ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Yeah, right.
Magic.
Go. That wasn't too bad, actually. I was expecting Matthew to be about 3 years. Matthew hasn't said it yet, has he? Let's wait for Matthew. I'm only joking. That's good, though. It's not too bad. I've just heard a few little bits of gapping going on. I just wanted to make sure you're still with me. Right, this episode is good fun. It's not the best Doctor Who story ever. It's a bit wrapped up in itself, but it would be. It's a 50th. It's a 20th anniversary special. It's a shame Tom Baker couldn't be in it, really. That's always been the main thing for me. I know it's a sort of, there is a bit of him in it, but it's not the same. It's a shame that, you know, they did their best with what they had. They recast the first Doctor. It was worth a try, but it just doesn't work for me. But it's probably the only way they could really bring Susan back into it properly. But on the whole, it's good fun. It's a romp, isn't it, really? I think they had so many problems with trying to rewrite it all the time. I think that sort of came across quite a lot. You know, it was a bit chaotic in some ways. Yeah. I'm thinking that the 50th anniversary special is going to be a lot better in that sense, even though they've had a couple of problems with wanting to have Eccleston in it and him not doing it and things like that. But I think they've got around that problem by having somebody called John Hurt in it. What on earth was that noise?
What was
someone
that?
Sounds like a vacuum cleaner.
Sounds like someone just flushed the toilet.
Yeah, it does.
I reckon that's Robert.
Somebody take their computer to the bathroom.
It might be my, you know, it might be my wife. Yeah, she's just got up.
Oh, okay, fair enough. So, who should we go next? Matthew.
As I've said, last week in my feedback and several times before, this was my first proper Doctor Who story, the special edition version, anyways, and you know it. As a result, I think, you know, it's a really good, it not only is it a good celebration, it's a good introduction because you've got the fact, you get across very quickly that there's multiple doctors. You know, the TARDIS is bigger on the inside. There's all these companions. There's the Time Lords. There's the Daleks. There's the Cybermen. There's the Master. So on and so forth. As a story itself, I think it holds up rather well. And certainly well written by Terrence Dicks and finding a way to incorporate everybody into it and give them everybody their own bit, with the exception of Tom Baker, who, as we've said before, didn't want to take part into it. But I think they do a really good job of integrating the unused footage from Shada into the story and making it seem like, you know, that, you know, you don't get the impression, oh, this was some footage from a story we weren't able to finish and we're just sticking it in so Tom Baker can make an appearance in this.
Yeah, I must admit,
that's what she said.
At the time it went out, I did think they filmed it specially. So I didn't know anything about Shada when Five Doctors originally
aired. It does make watching Shada strange.
Yes. It does.
Well, maybe it explains why the Doctor loses the, oh God, what is that thing called?
The punting stick.
The pole and shot it because you're just kind of like, okay, he got picked up, he got dropped back, and he lost the pole in the meantime. So,
yeah.
But as you say, it does make watching Shada an odd experience. I think as a celebration, it works.
I had to interrupt you since I haven't interrupted you in a while.
Well,
about 30 seconds, you mean.
As a celebration, I think I might actually get to say something one of these days. Finish the sentence I started. I'm starting to sympathize with you, Adam. Yeah, I'm starting to understand.
Thank you. Go on, then.
As a celebration, it works out rather well. I think it's by far the best of the three multi-doctor stories. So, you know, three doctors is almost as good because I think there's more stuff for the doctors to do in that story because there's less of them. And my opinion on the two doctors has been well expressed elsewhere.
Fewer.
Sorry, Kirby?
I said fewer of them, not less of them.
Fair enough.
He's an English teacher, too.
Yeah. It's bad that the writer is being corrected on grammar and use. It's, you know, it may not be the greatest Doctor Who story ever, but as a celebration of the show's heritage up to that point and of everything that had really been in the show, I think it succeeds brilliantly, and I think you can't ask anything more from it.
Thank you, Matthew. Right, Mary.
Well, I'm a sucker for multi-doctor stories, and I forgive a lot of shortcomings just because it's such a delight to see each of the actors, and of course, you know, the first doctor isn't the first Doctor, and to see the companions showing up. And it's so much fun seeing all the highlights, whatever. You know, Susan and her ankle problems, and Sarah with her overly bright and, you know, very girly looking little outfits. And hearing the third Doctor say, reverse the polarity of the neutron flow. I don't know. I just have to grin or laugh whenever I hear things that are typical of the people that they're bringing back. So I forgive, you know, that it's, you know, a little bit of a confused story. But I disagree with Matthew that it's a good introduction because there I was, you know, I recognized the Cybermen and the Daleks, but when that other creature came along, you know, that's with the arrows and that, I think a new person would be a little confused seeing all of these characters and creatures because you wouldn't know, if you don't know the backstory, then you don't know how terrible of a threat they are because they all look fairly foolish in this story. And I want you to know, I love Tegan's coat. I love that coat and I want to own it. So somehow I have to get my hands on that coat. Something that mystified me through the whole story was, why does anyone coming through not be noticed? I mean, in scene after scene, people are always being surprised by someone being in the room. When you heard the door open, you know, and it should have been obvious. I mean, you think of President Barossa and the fifth Doctor when he comes in. I mean, that door makes a lot of noise. And yet Barossa doesn't even flinch like he's heard it. He's just surprised by the presence of the Doctor. And one thing I found...
Him? I didn't see the Doctor bring him any presents. Was it the Crown of Rassilon? Or Coronet?
Yeah, when he's wearing the Crown of Rassilon, yeah. And when the fifth Doctor plays the harp
the
and then the door
of
opens
Rassilon.
Into the inner sanctum of Rassilon.
Yeah. Oh,
the secret control room of Rassilon. Yeah.
But I wanted
the
to
way
say
I
that
saw
one
that,
thing...
Barossa knew that he was there and was just waiting.
Yeah,
that's what I was
about. It happens when the first Doctor and Susan go into the TARDIS, and Tegan and Turlough are there, you know, and they don't even hear them coming in, and those doors are pretty noisy. The last thing I want to say is that the really good part of the movie is that we always see this character we only see his gloves, and they're always black gloves, and yet every scene, every other person in the rooms is quite often wearing black gloves. The Master is, Castellan is, other people are always wearing black gloves, but never President Barossa. So I think that's a good way that they kept you off the scent for a long time.
Ah, so that worked.
Yeah,
you always think, ooh, he's the one with the black gloves. Yeah. But it wasn't. Anyway, yeah, so I had a good time and I enjoyed it. It's a good celebration.
Excellent. Robert?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with what people have been saying. I do disagree with Mary in one case about the different enemies because it is established earlier on when Patrick Troughton's Doctor is talking about what they use the Death Zone to bring together enemy aliens to fight against each other. So I didn't really think it mattered whether you knew the aliens or not. But yeah, it would have been nice to see an updated Rastel Moria robot in the new series, I reckon.
Yes.
Because I thought that would be particularly effective. I think also compared to the three Doctors, this looks like it had a lot more money spent on it. Whereas, you know, things like Omega's domain looked quite cheap in, as we know, it was unfinished in the Three Doctors. So I think this sort of benefits from higher production values. What else did I like about it? It's great seeing all the aliens and different companions and different Doctors all together. I can't really see Richard Herndl's performance William Hartnell in him as much as Carol Ann Ford did. She apparently had goosebumps and shivers up her spine because Richard Herndl seemed to evoke William Hartnell to her, but I can't see it. But he never does. He gives a early sort of first Doctor performance. with his performance of the First Doctor. I sort of loved it, and I think Terence Dix did a wonderful job considering all the behind-the-scenes troubles. I think he did a good job of bringing everything together as it is, and it was great to see everybody. So I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you. Robert, Kirby.
I just love this story. I do have a correction to something I've said on the podcast before. I pulled out my 1983 calendar.
I bet you did.
And
what?
And I have a notation on Wednesday, November the 23rd.
Wow.
Says Doctor Who 20 years, and says Five Doctors broadcast. I see it on Friday. So I did not watch it when it was broadcast here. I saw it on Friday night.
Recorded.
And after, and so I did not see it before the British saw it. I always thought that I had. Oh. I did see it at a convention that I went to that weekend. And that I do have a notation here that we hooked together a whole bunch of VCRs, but I was wrong. I didn't see it ahead of the British. Sorry.
Okay.
Thank you.
Doesn't matter all these years.
I hadn't pulled out the calendar in a long time to check that.
No.
But, it's just one of my favorite stories, and I didn't have a problem with the fake First Doctor. Really. I like the fact that they put that at the First Doctor part at the beginning to acknowledge Hartnell.
Yeah.
That was right.
And of course, the theme tune mix at the end, which was quite good as well. I forgot to mention that.
Yes. Yeah.
I love the music throughout this entire
it's pretty good.
Yes.
I liked it. In the most recent proms, they reproduced some of those weird dissonant
horns.
The horns.
That's what she said.
It was really. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, this is just one of my all-time favorites. It may not be the best Doctor Who,
indeed,
but it's pretty far up for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Good. Okay, so thumbs up for Five Doctors, everyone. Okay, so I suppose after all that, it would probably be a good idea to get some opinions from contributors to the show. So let's see what I can do on that front.
Well, good evening, 20 Megabyteers. Andy Nunny here. It is 4:53 on Sunday afternoon. I'm sitting here and, guess what? I've got a glass of wine with me as well. It's, a floating vine soft and mellow red. I think it's actually a Sainsbury's cheap and cheerful one. It's, it's a bit thin. It's berry-y. Not very sharp, but it's, sort of pleasant mellow red. We've had a lamb for dinner, we've had early dinner. So we want to be there early because we're off to on holiday to Marrakesh tomorrow. Bit of sunshine. So anyway, just finished that off. Anyway, The Five Doctors, watched it on Friday night on my own because the lovely Dawn was out with some of her mates, so I sat there with my two steak burgers and some Hobgoblin and sat and watched The Five Doctors. I actually went and sat and started watching the cricket from Australia, and next thing I know it was 6:42 in the morning and I'd fallen asleep in the chair. Never mind. Anyway, The Five Doctors. Now, I don't think there's any point really talking about the story because and the plot, because to be honest, it's irrelevant. There was a story and a plot there, but what was The Five Doctors all about? The Five Doctors are all about a celebration of 20 years of Doctor Who, and that's all it's meant to be. So it's Terence Dix had the unenviable task of trying to pack in as much. I'm doing hand gestures again, Dre. You've got to tell me how to do that. Packed as much as he could of Doctor Who's history into 90 minutes, and making some sort of coherent sense of it. And well, you've got to admit, he did a pretty good job, with, well, I thought, of course, he had the problem that, A, that one of the actors was dead, and another one didn't want to play, so you've got three doctors standing in the waxwork. So straight away, you're running into problems. Now, Richard Herndl, he didn't do an impersonation of, I'll move the microphone down so I don't blow into it, didn't do an impersonation of Bill Hartnell, or more than, it was an impression of him, and I think that came across very well, because obviously you saw Hart at the beginning with the clip from The Dark Invasion of Earth, and you saw the new version of Doctor, and there's he did a good job of being the first Doctor without being William Hartnell. And I think that's what he needs to be. Then you've got Pat Troughton, obviously aged a bit, you know, been, what, 14 years since he's given the role up. It's obviously a bit greyer, but could still carry it off. And I was excellent seeing a Brig. I've said this before, you know, he does remind me of my late uncle, Jeff, who was a Winco in the RAF. Similar mannerism, both had the typical military moustache.
It's actually 11 years since he played the role.
And he still was unmistakably the Brig, could still carry that off. John Pertwee hadn't changed much, I know, been, what, getting up for 10 years since he changed, but he didn't change much. Liz Sladen, wonderful as ever. And the others, the characters they brought back into it, they did their best. I mean, I think the Mike Yates and Liz Shaw was actually quite scary. The one with Victoria and Jamie, though, was, well, it's just, they had to get them in somehow, to shoehorn them in, and it wasn't really worth so much. And I think the thing with losing the Yeti was, well, yeah, let's not go there. The Dalek, though, is good fun, and there's an outtake, I'm not sure it's on a DVD, I've seen it, where he does his rant and rave bit, and then he goes on to say, thank you, I'd like to thank my agent, my mum, my wife, and everything like that. And he actually, I've seen that before on some of the outtakes tapes that I've seen, having friends who work on the restoration team just help, you know, get contacts, all sorts of things. But all in all, it was just a celebration. It was a romp through 20 years, trying to pack as much in as possible, and also push it forward into the future. So it wasn't quite a reboot, but with the Doctor being told, you are now president, suddenly, bumph, here we go, no I'm not, off you go, go on, guards, take Tyler away, off she goes, right, and here we go again. So, thinking that we just watched that, and in, let me think, now is it 13 days' time, we will all be waiting for the Day of the Doctor. I'll be at a party in Kent at a friend of mine he's throwing. Got to go in fancy dress, so I'm just trying to sort that out myself as well. But it's, I just wonder how much we'll get of that as well. I think this one will be a serious drama, simply because you've only got the two stroke, three doctors in there, or have we, of course, because we don't know, because Moffat tells lies and you never know what the hell's going to happen. So, who knows. But I say, going back into the five doctors, what it did was gave everybody their own doctors, the Tom Baker bit. I think they worked that in well, with him being taken as he was going on the bridge and, you know, he was losing the punch and losing his balance. And then the way he brought it back in, they did the best. Terence Deeks, I think, did the best he could under very difficult circumstances. So there was enough for everybody, for each of the fans of each of the doctors, to say, yeah, I could see my bit of the doctor. I mean, of course, we had a classic bit of the second doctor walking into the Brigadier's study, or whoever, Colonel Crichton, was it Crichton? I think it was Crichton, yeah. Oh, you've had the, I don't like it. Of course, it's in the trailer. Oh, wonderful, because that's, oh, it's, well, I've now got my arms in the air as well. God, blimey. It's one of those classic, I've now got hand gestures again. I'll fold my arms. Actually, I'll grab a glass of wine, that's even better. It's one of those classic lines, isn't it, that I think everybody recognises it, and everyone cheers when they hear it, because it's really, that is such a Doctor Who line, and yeah, let's hope we keep hearing this in 100 years' time, we have the 23 Doctors. And that brings another point. Right. How are we going to get past here? We've got on to the 12th Doctor. He's only supposed to have 12 regenerations. I know there's some purists are saying, well, that's it, one more drop, and that's it, the finish. They can't make any more. They don't make any more. If they make any more, I'm not watching. It's not Doctor Who. Hang on a minute. The Master, they offer the Master a complete set of regenerations. So they can do it. So what's going to happen is, when Peter Capaldi turns into whoever he turns into, whoever he or she may be, took quite a crappy line, and then that person comes to an end, well, obviously, you know, the BBC, I'm not going to suddenly say, no, we're going to do 13 Docs, that's it, we're going to get rid of this really successful series. No, of course not, bollocks, are they? Beg your pardon. You might want to beat that out, Alan. Alan? Alan? Adam, even. So what will happen is, suddenly, the Doctor, well, they realise that the High Council, well, flipping heck, High Council even, I've only had two glasses of wine as well.
Yeah, I was going to say,
the High Council, which will some way, shape or form be there, will say, right, well, we obviously need this person to go around saving the universe, therefore we're going to do it, and the Doctor's going to be rebooted, and off we go again. So, given the fact that's going to be, what, well, 50 years got us to 12, so if they crowd even to do 5, that's 55. It'll be 55 years' time, by which time I'll probably be dead, because I'll be 103. That's a lovely thought, isn't it? But they will reboot it as new thing to Doctors, so I think that gives the clue as how they're going to do it. Also, one interesting thing, when Susan and the First Doctor walked into TARDIS, Susan straight away walked in and shut the door. Knew exactly where it was, the lever. I know it's probably TARDIS cards haven't changed that much, but yeah, that's the way I saw it anyway. So, was the Fives a success? Yes, it was, in as much as it did what it set out to be, which was to celebrate 20 years of time travel, 20 years of the Doctor, to get everybody in. It wasn't, the Three Doctors was more of a serious story. The Day of the Doctor in, 13 days' time, will be different, because that's really going to be a serious programme in its own right. It won't be that celebration, because, well, we don't think we're going to have all the previous Doctors in. I mean, again, the three of them are no longer with us, so it's caused a bit of a problem. But that is less of a celebration, that's more of a landmark programme. I thought it's going to reboot it and move it forward. So that's where we are, that's where I think we're going. So anyway, I've waffled on for nearly 8 minutes now, which is quite a long time, so I'm going to wrap up now.
But I'm grateful for it.
I've got to be up at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning to drive to Gatwick Airport. But yeah, you just think, tomorrow lunchtime in the sunshine in Marrakesh. I've got the, I finally managed to get the latest version of download. Say iTunes wouldn't download it for me, refused to completely, so I got off the website, thank you for that, Adam. And so I've got that on the MP3, and I'll be listening to that as we wend our way towards Africa. So, Reese, I'm glad your play went well. So if it's filmed and it's available on some of the media channel, let us know, and I'll look at that and look out for you. Hope it went well. Robert, I'm glad to hear you're well again. Mary, Matthew and Kirby, hope you're all, and Adam, hope all the ladies of your life aren't making your life sheer hell. Be seeing you.
Thank you.
No, it's my codpastors that are doing that at the moment.
Codpodsters.
Why have you said wave, Robert?
Well, I'm just waving, that's all.
Okay. I've got some more audio. He's but bored. Not enough to save me singing at the
end of
the episode.
Hello, 20 Megamount Podcast. This is
it's not.
It is November at last.
And I nearly started playing it. Listeners would have heard that. A little preview of what you're just about to hear. Coming up.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast.
Oh,
this is
sorry,
Kirk.
Just dropped the cable. I'll start
it
again.
It is November.
Captain.
I'm sure I can get this working. I'll try to do it without knocking the cable this time.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. It is November at last. This month, the Rot of the World will see the 50th anniversary episode. The Americans will see it at the same time as us. Not like the Olympic Games, then. The Five Doctors by Terence Dix. There was a version of this story split into four parts. Sarah Jane falling down a gentle slope was used as a cliffhanger at the end of one part.
Well, it would be, wouldn't it? Or a slope.
Yes.
In that scene, she's wearing a transparent raincoat. In the car, she's taking it off. At the top of the tower, she's taking off her gloves. When the Third Doctor returns from talking to the Phantoms and Mike Yates and Liz Shaw, she's just taken off her jacket. On the commentary track, they joke that by the time she reaches the tomb with Rassilon, she will have no clothes left at all. The First Doctor somehow knows that there will be five Doctors in this story. He says, I wonder what happened to the other two. Barusa has proper models of the Doctors and companions, not like those modern 3.5-inch rubbish. Barusa has an alternative black outfit that he wears in the secret control room. So when we see his hand in close-up, we think it is the Master's hand.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I had fireworks on my audio last week, and the Second Doctor has a firework this week. There are three Doctors going to the tower on foot. How convenient that there are three entrances. Like in the Three Doctors, the others defer to the First Doctor, although he is actually the youngest and least experienced.
Yeah.
The Five Doctors is light entertainment, not a documentary on what time travel would be like, so they are using episode time. That is, nothing that happens later in the story affects events earlier in the story. If the Doctor's timeline is linear, then the First Doctor discovers that Barusa is a villain at the end. Then, as the Second Doctor, he would start the story remembering that Barusa is a villain. Then go through the whole thing again as the Third and Fifth Doctors.
Yeah.
No, not the mind probe.
Bye for now.
That was Ian Kirk. Thank you, Ian.
No, that was very clever thinking. That, the First Doctor discovering it.
The Fourth Doctor should already have known that the Barusa was in fact a baddie. Very, very good point. Hadn't thought of that one. Timey-wimey.
But...
there we go.
But, Adam...
but, Robert...
speaking of big finish as Matthew was, they do explain that away in their adventures that they only remember it during, but afterwards they forget.
Yeah, so I would imagine a lot of this thing they would have to take some sort of retcon pill, because otherwise it just wouldn't be able to live their lives, and it would contaminate their own timeline, etc., etc. Okay, thanks everybody. Yes, two bits of feedback. Clearly they want me to sing, so that's fine. I shall do so at the end of this.
No, people, not the
people,
mind,
please. yes. Adam, read out the feedback address.
20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Or you can join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group. But there is some news. There's a Doctor UK broadcast time has been announced. That will be at 7:50 on Saturday, the 23rd of November. This time was confirmed just over half an hour ago, as far as the 8th of November is concerned, by the BBC One Facebook page. And when I heard there was a BBC One Facebook page, I liked it on Facebook. Yes, there's also, you're talking about that BBC America have confirmed their week of celebrations. So they've got those are going on the Monday. They've got Doctor Who, the Doctor's Revisited Marathon, and then US premiere of Doctor Who, Tales from the TARDIS, and then the US premiere of The Science of Doctor Who with Brian Cox, which I'm watching next week. I think it's on BBC
Two. Which, by the way, should not be confused with last year's Science of Doctor Who, which BBC America also produced.
Indeed.
In fact, this one looks much, much better.
This is going to be different? I thought it was just a repeat.
No, it's not that shocking, Robert. Honestly, all it is Brian Cox in front of an audience talking about the science of Doctor Who, and I'm really looking forward to seeing that. On Tuesday, November the 19th, the Doctor Who, the Ninth Doctor Marathon, and then the next day, the 10th Doctor Marathon, and the next day after that, the 11th Doctor Marathon, Part 1.
Part 1?
Yeah, on the next following day, the 11th Doctor Marathon, Part 2, and then the US premiere of Doctor Who Explained, which I saw on Watch here in the UK, very good programme, and then the US premiere of An Adventure in Space and Time, which I can't wait to see.
I'm so looking forward to that.
I don't know if I'm looking forward more than I am about the 50th anniversary.
I think I am too.
The 23rd of November.
Oh no, it just occurred to me, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to be driving to pick up the geek daughter.
Oh dear.
You're going to have to tape it.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Tape? What is tape? What? Tape?
DVR it then.
Put it straight onto iTunes. The world premiere of the Doctor Who Day of the Doctor. That's a global simulcast. At 2 p.m.
You know, you Brits have the strangest times for your programs. 1
a.m. to 2
p.m. In America, everything starts on the hour or at the half hour, but in England, everything starts at...
Yeah, no adverts, though, Mary. Global simulcast, 2:50 p.m.
Rub it in.
Yeah, but you won't get
we
them
don't
right,
have on the ABC, Adam, and we still have them on the hours.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, it's a simulcast, so wherever you are in the world, you won't have adverts on it. That's great. You should be very thankful.
Excellent.
Day of the Doctor Encore Primetime Broadcast at 7 p.m. ET. US premiere of Graham Norton's show with guests Matt Smith and David Tennant. Looking forward to that. That's coming up very soon here in Great Britain. Because the Graham Norton show is very, very good. And the 24th of November, my wife's birthday, Doctor Who Matt Smith Countdown. And then it's the US premiere of Doctor Who Doctor's Revisited, the 11th Doctor. I haven't watched that yet. I've watched all the other ones up to the 6th Doctor, or as he calls himself, Old Sixy. That's not a quote from Radio Rassilon. That's what Colin Baker calls himself, Old Sixy. Right. I'm talking about Colin Baker. He was actually on a programme with Peter Burvis. It was an antiques roadshow competition thing where they would go around finding antiques and then auction them off to see who got the most money for the antiques. Colin Baker won that, or Old Sixy, as he was calling himself in the episode. And the interesting thing about that is they went to a museum in some village somewhere which had loads of really good Doctor Who props, genuine ones.
This belongs in a museum.
No, this is proper stuff. he went downstairs and had a look around, and there was this a prop that he had signed by himself, and he didn't even remember doing it. And he said, "Well, that's mine. I'm having it back."
Oh wow!
But. Yeah, really good. But that was the interesting part of it, this, they had about a 5-10 minute section of the program was in this museum, which looked very much like the stuff that was in the old Blackpool Doctor Who museum, but still, nevertheless, very good. Yes, moving on with back to news. The After Party, which is BBC Three have announced that it will host a celebration show, Doctor Who Live, The After Party, directly after the screening of The Day of the Doctor. No details are yet available on the content or the guests in the programme, which will be quite interesting, bearing in mind a lot of the potential guests of the programme will be with me at the XL.
Yeah.
Until
I was going to ask you, how much of this are you going to be able to see? Because you're going to be traveling to London and then at the convention.
Well, I won't be able to see much of that, the after party, if I'm lucky enough to be able to get a seat in the theatre to watch The Day of the Doctor at the convention.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do if you can't get in?
I shall travel back to the hotel and watch it on television. The BBC shop has revealed its exclusive Web of Fear t-shirt. Web of Fear t-shirt. Speak English, that'd be great. Web of Fear, I said. With a great intelligence and Yetis on one side and the Fourth Doctor on the other. Web of Fear, yeah. The Spot the TARDIS is going on, BBC television programmes at the moment, where there will be little sort of in the background TARDISes. It's apparently on the Graham Norton show.
I don't need no stinking Web of Fear t-shirt. I have a 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yes, you do. Yeah. Yeah, so do I. And Deb's got one as well. She's got a long sleeve one, and Isabella's got one. the BBC challenged over ownership of the TARDIS, apparently.
Yes.
Earlier on the show. I don't really want to talk about that because it's so annoying. Because I seem to remember there being a hoo-ha about somebody having the original design of, was it the Daleks or something like that?
Davros.
Davros. From a couple of years ago, who claimed he had designed it for the TV action competition in the early 70s.
How can they say they designed the TARDIS? It was a police box.
Well, his son is, this is the son of Anthony Coburn, who was the writer of An Unearthly Child, who's claiming ownership and claiming that his father basically signed away his rights and agreement to it in 1963, but that it should have passed back to him in 1977. I have a distinct feeling that this is just a cynical money grab by him. If I may very quickly read something out that he's posted on the Doctor Who Archive site, saying, quote, "I profoundly dislike and intensely resent the institution that bloody, awful, cheesy Doctor Who has become. Its continued existence at all, let alone its modern resurgence, fills me with gall. I refuse to watch it and try as far as possible these days not to even think about it. If I could push a button and do what all the silly Daleks and even sillier Cybermen and stupid bloody Suntarans and the like continue, I'm told, without success to attempt to do and once and for all kill off the bloody awful annoying Doctor so as to have him disappear entirely from TV screens and schedules everywhere, I would similarly do so cheerfully and without an instant's hesitation that is necessary to briefly savor the moment," end quote.
Wow, wow.
And that is his comments currently on the Doctor Who Archive website.
And for once, I agree with Ian Levine in his counter comments and insults that he bandied back in his direction. Yes, a bit, of a twit, really. I'm not going to give too much airtime about it, but I'm glad you read that out for me because it is topical at the moment, but it's a load of nonsense. Let's enjoy the 50th and not let sort of things like this spoil it for us, eh?
Yeah, I would simply suggest people go and read the article. I do get the impression he did have he had a strained relationship with his father, and I'm wondering if that may have something to do with it as well. So,
but
strange.
Complete and utter knob. Right, Doctor
How do you define
Who.
Strange?
Never mind. Moving
on. Well, it's estranged. Estranged.
Okay.
Yes. Moving on. Doctor Who set is one of the things up for auction on eBay. A visit to see the first episode being filmed with Peter Capaldi as the new Doctor. That's basically the first episode of the next series.
Wouldn't that be good?
Obviously, whoever wins it will have to sign some sort of disclaimer. But that's a prize and a half, and I bet that'll go for several grand. That'll raise all that money for children in need. If I win the lottery tomorrow, it'll be me. BBC One programme.
Can you bring your Doctor Who podcast friends?
No. Excuse me. Right. BBC One programme introductions may be subject to interruptions by the Doctor, as witnessed this evening on the channel when he popped up before Strictly Come Dancing. I didn't actually see this. I don't know why. I did watch Strictly Come Dancing last night, but this is the said scene. Here we go.
The clock's ticking.
A load of rubbish. Did you see? Did you hear that, by the way? It's just him saying the clock is ticking.
All I can hear is music.
That's basically what it is.
I can hear the music.
Here we go. I'll try it again. Here we go. This is the interruption. There's the doctor.
The clock's ticking.
All right. Did you get that time? No. Hello. Nobody's there.
No.
Just said that.
I heard him say the clock's ticking.
Exactly. That's what he says. That's basically the little.
Whoop-dee-doo.
Yeah, whoop-dee-doo.
Oh my gosh.
But there is a bigger trailer that has been released. There is a very small snippet off at the beginning of this show. That's basically news for this week. I thought there'd be more as it's brewing up. What was that? Did I answer the question correctly?
My weight. It's my weight. It's my weight.
Right, so next
week. Well, the trailer was very, very interesting.
It was.
Oh, yes.
I did pause it on several occasions.
I haven't been able to watch it yet, so I'm annoyed.
There's a woman in the background, a mysterious woman in the background, when the two doctors, that's the 11th and 10th, are having a bit of a sonic screwdriver off. And you see this woman in some old costume behind one of the doctors in the background, slightly sort
Elizabethan of... Elizabethan costume.
Yeah, And
I think...
It hints that it's Elizabeth.
Does it? Very young Elizabeth. It must be very young. Ooh.
I think it's interesting. Apparently we've solved the question, or at least I'm fairly convinced we've solved the question of which 10 this is, that it's the 10 of Waters of Mars era, and it's Rose. In other words, it's not the clone. It's not the half.
It is the Doctor. Yeah, but what I'm saying, I don't think it's the Waters of Mars. I think it's because you can tell by his hairstyle, he's set to be the Doctor who was with Rose at the time when he was travelling around with her.
This Rose is not Rose. This appears to be the Bad Wolf Rose.
She's using a different accent as well. And there is a brief shot in one of the trailers, at least, of her eyes glowing as well, which would seem to indicate something is slightly off. And at one point, she's talking with the John Hurt doctor as well.
There have been speculation that she is somehow...
I'm not doing any spoilers. I hope this is speculation and not spoilers.
No, this is I don't know anything about it other than what we've seen.
Okay.
This is speculation that she is somehow... the companion of the John Hurt doctor.
Ooh, I like that.
But it's clear from this, what we have seen, that the John Hurt is the doctor. He's not a future doctor that is half a doctor. He is the doctor, because there's a scene in which Matt Smith says, "There is one of me that I don't admit to," or something like that. Not those words.
Right.
So basically, he's been the doctor, but once he wasn't, and then he was again, sort of thing. But anyway,
it's going to be interesting how in 2 weeks we will settle down on how we're going to refer to him once we know exactly who he is, because right now we refer to him as the John Hurt Doctor.
Yes, quite.
Yeah, that's right.
I would like
to
refer to him as something else that's not the actor name.
Yes, indeed.
We will find out.
We will, and it's not long to go now. Well, there was a posting of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group that made me chuckle. Jeff Waddle said, screenshot from the new trailer and put a picture of Bingo on the screen, which really did make me laugh.
Yeah.
And then Kirby Bartlett Sloan posted a picture of Billy Piper, or was it Bingo, looking remarkably like Bingo, in fact.
That's a screenshot from the trailer.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Something.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, someone is posting stuff on.
Yeah, that would be Mr.
Skype.
Robert Haynes.
Kirby.
So yeah, that basically concludes that part of the show, and you'll be delighted to hear it's now for time for the last in the current series of "You Won't Get This One."
Ooh.
to know who's going to be here for this. I'm just so disappointed that Reese is coming up to our 200th episode and he can't be bothered to come on the show. He's turned into Alicia.
That's not good.
I have to change him to Reese Alicia.
Well, I think once we stop the quizzes, he may come on. Because that's the one thing he never liked.
That's not an excuse. Somebody's tapping on their mouse.
I'm reading a script.
Wow. You hear everything. I have a cat tapping on the window. That's how she lets me know.
I said someone's tapping on a mouse, and you said a cat tapping on a mouse. Oh, that's really strange.
The cat tapping on our window.
Eating a mouse. Okay, everybody ready?
Yeah.
Don't all shout at once, for goodness sake. Right, first
question. That's all ever been.
First question goes to Mary.
Oh, great. Okay.
Why? Hang on, I'll read this myself before. Oh, right. I missed a word out there. I'll start again.
What is your question?
Oi! Point deducted for Kirby.
I'm going to lose anyway.
Why does the Eye of Orion make people feel relaxed? And I think I need to go there at the moment.
If I remember correctly, it's that high bombardment of, is it positive ions?
Spot on.
Yes.
Okay.
Robert.
Right. Yes, sir.
What does the Fifth Doctor put his first heart pain down to?
Cosmic angst.
Correct. Kirby.
Master.
Who was the Brigadier's replacement?
Crichton.
Correct. Well, I'll give you that, even though it's Colonel Crichton, but it's near
Colonel
enough.
Colonel Crichton, yeah.
Matthew.
Yes.
What is the Third Doctor's first line?
Great balls of fire.
Correct.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Mary.
Good.
Yeah.
When is May week?
In June.
I know.
Correct.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I remember that.
Robert.
Yes, sir.
How many members of the High Council entered the Dead Zone but did not return?
Two.
Correct.
Ooh.
Kirby.
Master.
What colour drink is Turlough drinking while the doctors argue in the TARDIS? That's the first and fifth doctors.
Ooh.
I think I remember.
I've lost. So never mind.
What did you say, Kirby?
I've lost the whole quiz.
You're not
going to
have a guess?
Green.
Correct.
He's kidding.
I would have thought that too.
What I normally think of is with that is Scotty going, it's his green.
Hmm. Right. Matthew.
Yes.
How does the Third Doctor plan to do against the Force in the Tower? Does that make sense?
To do what he always does and improvise.
Correct. You know, that's basic. I did when I wrote the question, it did make sense, and it made sense when I read it back through again, but when you're reading it out, it doesn't for some reason. So in this current edition of You Will Get This One, apparently, everybody has 4 points.
Everybody.
Yes.
Everybody.
Ooh.
Mary.
Yes.
What door of the tomb does the Fifth Doctor plan to use?
I know.
The main one.
Correct.
Yeah.
Remarkable performance. Robert.
I think.
Yes, sir.
What is the first thing the Second Doctor and the Brigadier encounter in the tunnels?
The first thing? The first thing that they encounter in the tunnels is the Yeti.
Correct. Kirby.
Master.
What type of robot do the Third Doctor and Sarah meet?
Rastan.
The full name,
complete,
please.
Complete title.
I know.
Yes, I know.
Give it to them.
I'll give you a point for Raston. Robert?
Raston Warrior Robot.
Correct. Matthew?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What colour
I've lost!
Are
I've lost!
No.
You dropped to the bottom.
Can you repeat that again, Adam, please?
Did Kirby interrupt you yet again?
Yes.
No, Mary did.
Oh. What colour are Tegan's shoes?
What? Red.
Correct.
Jeez, that was that should have been my too. Question.
Mary.
Yes?
What was found in the Castellan's room?
I know.
I know.
In the Castellan's room?
Yes.
The underpants of Rassilon.
I don't remember.
One named Matthew. Matthew.
The black scrolls of Rassilon in the casket.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say the scrolls, but I thought, nah.
Robert.
Yes, sir.
Who was authorized to use the mind probe?
That was that guard. Yes, the
he actually says his title when he says so and so.
I know.
You go on then, Robert first.
I don't know. It was a commander, somebody or other, wasn't he?
Correct. Huh. That was the answer, commander. Kirby.
Commander.
Master.
What is the first thing the second doctor takes from his pocket? Oh, while they're in the tunnel.
Oh, I know.
That's it's the witch thing? The what? Second thing?
No. The first thing.
First thing was a slingshot.
Correct.
No.
Correct. No.
Yes.
Yes. Or catapult would have done nicely. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Matthew. Excellent.
Matthew.
Yes.
What maddens the Yeti?
The galactic glitter.
Correct.
Yep.
Yes.
There's no point doing a score run here, really, because it's going quite well for everybody. Mary.
Well, I'm at the bottom. Yeah, what?
How did that? I was at the bottom.
How does Sarah Jane try to hold off the Cybermen?
I know.
Don't know.
Matthew.
With a rock.
Correct. She throws a rock at you.
May I object here?
You can, but he won't get you anywhere.
Yes, in the version, the special edition, yes, but that scene is not in the original.
Oh,
see, I didn't see it.
Yeah,
how was Ooh. I supposed
so I can't
to
remember
that?
That either.
Because they mention it in several articles about the differences between the various versions, and it's brought up in the commentary in the special
Kirby.
Edition. Yes?
Ash's not going to have read any of that.
Well, I originally saw the special edition, but then most recently I saw the old edition, so I don't know.
Remember that.
Do I get one point? One point?
No. Right. Robert.
Yes, sir.
What was the ingenious thing about Rassilon's chessboard?
The ingenious thing is that it changes the... path with each walking over it.
Nope, anybody?
Is that it?
Nope.
I know.
Go on in, Matthew.
You got to the fifth square on the board before it would kill you.
Correct.
Whoa.
Kirby.
Yeah, but I'm correct, though, as well.
No, you're not. Kirby.
Master?
It does, because it changes its path with each...
No, yeah, it changes every time.
Yeah. That's, talking about that's the script. Not what, thank you very
that's
much.
That's not what the doctor says is ingenious about it.
Thank you. Whose go is it now? Kirby's.
Still right.
Master.
Who is the first phantom to appear?
Yates.
Correct.
Yeah.
Matthew.
Yes.
What is the basic design of Rassilon's logo?
I know.
Oh. I don't quite understand the question.
There was a logo everywhere, and it was Rassilon's logo that they used for the whole thing, and it was a very basic design. What was it?
It's a sort of circular Celtic thing, but I don't quite... No. Yeah.
Robert?
That's the Z-type things, isn't it?
It's a zigzaggy thing, and the Z-type thing will do nicely. Yeah. Very basic idea of what it is. Right then.
What?
What do you mean, what?
No, that you mean that thing that's on the wall all over the place.
All over the place.
Those little decorations? Yeah. I didn't know that was his design.
Yeah, that's not the seal of Rassilon.
Did I mention the word seal?
I still got it right.
Point deducted for Kirby, because I didn't mention the word seal at all. I said logo. Thank you, point deducted.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't even know that was his logo. I just thought it was a little set design.
Excuse me.
It's just a set design. Excuse me. Who knows?
Everything was of Rassilon. It was his tomb. It was on the outside of his tomb. It was on all the walls. It was on the bloody light things they were carrying around. It was all around the rooms. Only in the thing of Rassilon. So obviously it was a logo.
You're thinking of the seal of Rassilon.
No, the seal of Rassilon is a completely different thing. I'm talking about the logo. If I meant the seal, I would have said the seal. I've got a tattoo of it on my blooming arm, for God's sake. I'm talking about the logos on the wall. So you get your point deducted. I'm moving on. Mary?
Yes. And with Kirby, I just thought it was a set design.
Right. Who enters the inner tomb after the first Doctor?
The first Doctor.
No. Anybody?
The third Doctor.
No. One for last guess. Doctor
and the Brigadier.
Nobody knows. Well, I'll finally get one against
you. I just said the second Doctor and the Brigadier, yeah. Isn't it?
Wrong. It's Tegan.
Oh, of course.
We're just thinking doctors here. Oh, we're just
yeah.
Right, so therefore it's Robert's question. Right, Robert.
Okay, yep.
What did the Brigadier tell the third Doctor his journey was like?
The Brigadier tell the first Doctor his journey was like?
No, the third.
I can't remember, sorry.
What did the Brigadier tell the third Doctor his
journey was like? I can't remember.
Right then, Matthew.
I can't.
A cross between Guy Fawkes and Halloween.
Correct. Kirby.
Master.
What rank was the Cyberman who told his comrades to move back while they prepared for detonation of the TARDIS?
Lieutenant.
Is correct.
Lieutenant.
No.
Yes.
Matthew. Oh.
Yes.
I, you know how I know? Because they say it that way, which is not the way we say it.
Yeah,
and
Lieutenant,
I was pointing that. Right. I was pointing it out to Fred.
Right. Yes,
Matthew.
Yes.
Who is given the job of tying the master up?
Kinky.
I'm trying to remember. Is it?
I think I remember.
Is it Turlo and Tegan?
Nope. Anybody?
It's Sarah Jane and Tegan.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Ah.
Right, I will do a score check now because we're coming towards the end of the quiz. In last place with 6 points is Mary.
Mary!
No, I should be in last place.
In third place with 10 points is Robert.
Ooh.
In second place with 11 points is Kirby. And in first place with 12 points is Matthew. It's not that shocking, Robert, honestly.
was there any question that Matthew would be in first place?
I don't know.
Ever?
But we'll move on anyway. Mary.
Yes.
What is the Doctor's opinion of the coronet of Rassilon?
I know.
Doctor's opinion?
Hmm.
I don't remember.
Okay. I know.
Go on then, Robert.
Is it very fetching?
It is very fetching, yes. Robert.
Yes, sir.
What is Rassilon's first statement?
Rassilon's first statement. Oh. Would that differ from the versions?
No idea.
Well?
No idea.
No, it's not different.
It's the same dialogue in both versions. They just keep the voice.
Yeah,
okay,
then,
just
Robert.
Alternate the voice. I don't know. I can't remember.
Right. So did Kirby say "I know" first? I think he did. Actually.
Yes, I did.
Go on then.
This is the game of Rassilon.
That's the correct answer. Right, Kirby.
Master.
I've lost where I was.
You're right there. Isle of Wight.
Yep. Rassilon's first comment.
Right, Kirby. What word does the second Doctor use to describe the fifth Doctor?
I don't know. Sorry.
Anybody?
Young fellow?
No. Nope. Impudent was the answer.
Impudent. Oh.
Right, Matthew.
Oh.
Yes.
What is the third Doctor's last line?
I'll explain later.
No, I'd rather explain now because we're actually on the quiz and not yet this part. Is the correct answer.
Yeah.
Right. There's two questions left, so it's going to be a bit of a free-for-all, this one. Just remember, I know. will do. That's something I know that...
Yes. Not the mind probe!
Shut up. Right, next question, free-for-all, is what did Rassilon use to return everyone to their correct place and time? What power did he use?
The power of Rassilon.
Shut up.
Can I take a guess?
Go on.
Depending on which version you watched, it was either multiple TARDISes or that swirly effect thing.
No. Actually, it was quoted in the script, which I'm surprised you didn't get. And the answer was temporal fission.
Oh!
And the final
I don't remember
question.
That at all.
Fish and chips.
Yeah, very funny. Final question is, the last line of the story was what?
I know.
Go on, Robert.
Why not? After all, that's how it all started.
That's correct.
Oh, all right.
By the way, did anyone notice Rassilon said, you've chosen wisely, several years before Indiana Jones and the whatever it was?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, in the Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Hey,
yeah,
Kirby.
Yeah, I wonder if they got that from there.
Hmm. Yeah, because Steven Spielberg's a big fan of Doctor Who, so maybe.
That's right.
And they did, and the death of Julian Glover's character in Last Crusade is very similar to the death of Kerensky in City of Death.
Correct.
Wow, yeah. Good references.
Maybe. Okay, right.
Anyway, so, tell us how much
hang on,
Matthew
one more question. One more question.
Oh, one more question. Okay, oh. We thought there were only two left.
No, I got it all wrong. I often do that. What am I saying? I never do that, but it had to happen on go. Right. Who composed...
That will
be quiet or deduct points. Who composed the incidental music for this episode?
I know.
And then Robert. Robert said I know first.
Peter Howe.
Is correct.
Okay. All right.
That was the final question. Therefore, the scores are as follows. In last place,
Mary on the bottom.
Mary. Next time, yeah. Mary, pay attention. In third place, with 9 points. No, sorry. With, God, I'm trying to work out this funny scribbly writing. 12 points. It's Kirby. In second place, with
the mind probe.
14 points. It's Matthew. And the winner this week is 15 points.
Well,
it's Robert.
Robert!
What? Woo! I don't believe
that.
You only won the last question.
You won it on the last
question.
Yes, that's true.
There we go. That was the Five Doctors. That was last of this. Last, you won't get this one of this year. We'll be back in the new year with a new series of You Won't Get This One. Thank you for listening.
With the shocking finale of Robert beating Matthew.
Yes.
Yes. Really, Matthew, can you stand it going out like that?
Yeah.
There's always next season.
Yeah, we'll do some, more You Will Get With This Ones in the years, in the new year, especially we'll have to compose some questions about the Day of the Doctor and stuff like that. So, but that's all coming up in the new year after episode 200 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. But this is the end of the episode 193 of the 20 Megabyte. Oh, my mouth is packing in, so it's probably just as well. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast comes to an end.
Wait, what about... our schedule.
What about our schedule? What schedule?
We have a schedule.
Oh, what you wanted to talk about next week?
What are we? Yes.
Okay, well, next week on the 20 Megabyte
Unearthly Child
podcast,
and Sylph and Nemesis.
We're doing a commentary on the episode one, The Unearthly Child. Oh, I'll say it right. An Unearthly Child, because Doctor Who fans will kill me for saying it wrong. We'll be doing a commentary on that. That'll be fun, won't it? And if Rhys does join us, he's got no excuse to say that he can't watch it, because there won't be a quiz on it. He'll be with us. Well, we're watching it, so that'd be good. That's one part of it. The other part of it, of course, is we're going to do a little review of Silver Nemesis, which was the 25th anniversary special.
I look forward to dueling with Kirby over Silver Nemesis.
Yeah, I like Sylvan Nemesis.
Controversy is on its way, but that's next week.
Yes.
And that'll be our last episode before the actual specials come along. And the good thing for you lot is because when it comes to the following episode after that, you get an episode off. It's just me and the family and everybody at
this
thing, so you won't be on that one. So,
I guess my question is, when are we doing it? Are we doing it on Sunday again?
I don't know.
To make up for Mondays, or
we'll do
are
it
we doing
when
it
I'm
Monday?
Told to do it? The looks of things. Yes. Hello. What's the consensus?
Hello.
Sunday or Monday? Well, come on.
I prefer Sunday because I'm a little lighter and brighter on Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday's better for me.
And did Reece say like prefer... Sundays? I think he did, didn't he? But then he bloody turned up for the blooming thing.
Yeah.
Just tell him we turn up on Sunday specifically and then he couldn't be bothered to turn up. He's turning into Ben Shubler.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have been able to do it tomorrow, so.
That's what she said. But we're talking about the podcast at the moment, Kirby.
So we're trying. You
want to try Sunday next week, do we?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd love to.
Okay, we'll try Sunday.
I love Mondays.
Unless we hear from you, you've got a wedding you're doing.
I haven't got a wedding. Wife is at a bridal show, but we're not filming unless something comes up last minute. But anyway, thanks for listening to the Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I'll be back again next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Not the mind probe.
So long and thanks for all the fish.
We reverse the polarity. Come back.
What would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Bend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. Get high with a little help from my friends. Gonna try with a little help from my friends. What do I do when my love is away?
Does it worry you to be alone?
How do I feel by the end of the day?
Are you sad because you're on your own?
No, I get by with a little help from my friends. Get high with a little help from my friends. Gonna try with a little help from my friends.
Do you need anybody?
I need somebody to love. To love.
Would you believe in a love at first sight?
Yes, I'm certain that it happens all the time.
What do you see when you turn out the light?
I can't tell you, but I know it's mine. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. Get high with a little help from my friends. Oh, I'm gonna try with a little help from my friends.
Do you need anybody?
I just need someone to love.
Could it be anybody?
I want somebody to love. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. Gonna try with a little help. Oh, I get high with a little help from my friends. Yes, I get by with a little help from my friends. With a little help from my friends.
Thank you. 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. You manned it!